I was raised by a father with 9 fingerprints. I want to tell you about that today. Would you bow with me? As we prepare our hearts and minds for the message, let's pray. Amen. 9 fingerprints. That's all my dad has. You see, he's missing the top knuckle of his right index finger. This happened when he was 19 years old. My Uncle Joe Anger, my favorite Norwegian uncle, ran a gas station up in North Dakota over by Dickinson in the town of Gladstone. And in that year, the year was 1948, my dad had graduated from high school and he was working in the garage. And one day in the middle of the summer, a woman pulled up. Turns out she had a bad fan belt. And so my dad popped the hood, found the problem, took the old belt off, and then he put the new belt on. All this time, it was a fast repair. All this time, the woman sat in her vehicle. And my dad leaned over and said to her, "Okay, I'm going to put the new belt on. Don't start the car." And what she heard was, "Start the car." And so as he was hooking his finger underneath to get the belt on, she started. It turned up and took his finger right off. I don't know how many times I've heard that story. But today I want to use that story throughout this message to show you more about what it means to work our way through change. All right, all through November, we have been talking about change in our lives and how when we center ourselves in faith, we have the ability to respond in new ways to change. What is change? Change is just the event. All right, come back to my dad's finger. What was the event? That woman started the car. Okay, the change was that he lost his finger. But then he had to work through the transition. What was the transition? Well, you would think that the big transition in this was he needed to heal his finger. Well, his finger has been fine for 70 years. It doesn't hurt. It just is what it is. He transitioned into having a healed finger. Ah, but there were other things that he had to transition with as well. My dad is right-handed. He had to completely relearn how to write. That was part of his transition. He had to completely relearn how do you thread nuts and screws. He had to relearn all those little things that we just don't even think about. We take for granted. That was transition. Now, in the middle of that transition, he was living in the neutral zone. The neutral zone, when we are in change and transition, is what happens after something has happened, but before we've settled on something new. The transition in the neutral zone is that we're in one big nowhere in the midst of two somewheres. What was that for my dad? Well, it was the learning period. It was the healing and the learning process. And then what? What we talk about today is the last step inside of change and transition, moving out of the neutral zone into the new. What is it that is new? And what I want to tell you today is that we are made new again and again and again in our lives. In order to do this, I want to pull you into Matthew 25. Here again, we have been studying Matthew 25 throughout this month of November. Matthew 26 is the beginning of the crucifixion story that culminates in resurrection. Matthew 1 through 24 is the story of Jesus' birth, his ministry, his baptism, his temptation. It's the story of his teaching and his parables. It's the story of miracles and healings. All of that is contained. But in between those two blocks stands Matthew 25. These three parables are the capstone. They are the summary of what is going on inside of Jesus' life, his teaching, and his theology. It is the summary of what we need to know. It's contained in three parables. The first, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. The punchline? To be in the kingdom of God, you have to be ready. The second parable is the parable of the talents. A man was given 5 talents, another man given 2 talents, another man given 1. The punchline? In the kingdom of God, we must respond with everything that God has given us. And this is done in action because faith already exists. We believe in God, and God believes in us. Now today, we come into the third. This parable, the parable of the sheep and the goats, has been one of the most powerful favorites in my life and has been one of the absolute life changers for me. And I'm hoping it is with you also. And the king was seated on his throne with the people before him, and he separated them out in the way that a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he said to those on his left, "Thank you so much for all the ways that you helped." And they would say, "Really? We did that?" And then he turns to those who are on his left and he says to those goats, "You were no help at all. You didn't help me at all." And they would say, "Wait a minute. When did we not help you?" And Jesus says, "Whenever you helped the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you helped me. Whenever you didn't help the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you didn't help me." The punchline, in the kingdom of God, we respond with our actions to the least, the last, and the lost. We are not alone. We are all together in this. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not a place, and it's not a specific time. It's not an end of the world thing. It's not after we die. The kingdom of God is right here and right now when we are present in God. I love how the Catholic teacher and theologian Richard Rohr puts it. He says this, "So what do we understand the kingdom of God to be? Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is within you, that is, here. And Jesus says, it is at hand, that is, now. It's not later, but lighter. Some more subtle quality or dimension or of experience accessible to right to you right in the moment. You don't die into it. You awaken into it. The kingdom of heaven is really a metaphor for a state of consciousness. It's not a place to go to, but a place you come from. It is a whole new way of looking at the world, a transformed awareness that literally turns this work into a different place. The hallmark of this awareness is that it sees no separation, not between God and humans, not between humans and other humans." I love this. I love this, for we are called into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means that right now we are working in and through change inside of our lives. In the same way that there was a day in 1948 when my dad lost the top knuckle of his finger, there are days in our lives when we lose stuff, that we live with loss inside of our lives. And it is only by learning how to handle that loss that we can truly become whole again in the kingdom of God. All right, I want you to stop and think. In your life, what were two times when you lost something. Now, maybe you lost someone to death, or maybe it was your best friend when you were 8 years old who moved to another town. Maybe it was when you lost your job. Maybe it was when you lost another relationship. Maybe it was literally when you just lost a possession. When was it that you lost something that was really valuable to you? Now, as you think about this in the past, I want you to ask yourself, in those two instances, what changed? Now, with those two instances side by side, what was the transition like? What was the neutral zone that you had to live in coming out of there? That in-between time when things were different, but they weren't resolved. Now, with those two instances, how did it resolve? What was it that became new again? When it became new and you became used to it and it just became part of your life in those two instances, how did you see God use that? I grew up with a father with 9 fingerprints. We just never thought anything about it. It didn't hurt Dad. It wasn't painful. We always thought it was kind of cool. And so there were times when we would want to touch that and say, what is that? Because it was just so different. But what was so fun was that I watched my father use that. When we talk about being ready for the kingdom of God and responding in action with everything that we have been given and responding to the least, the last, and the lost inside of our lives, I remember a time when I was a teenager, when my dad, as a preacher, he would invite the kids up for a kids' time every week. There was a time, there was a year in there, where there was one boy. That boy must have been 3 or 4 years old. He did not come up for the children's sermon. He came up for my dad's finger. He was absolutely captivated by that. He would always cuddle right up to my dad, and whenever he could, whenever my dad wasn't using his hand to do something or make a point, he would wrap his hand around that, and he would watch, and he would look. It absolutely captivated. Funny, the thing that was the loss for my dad through the years became one of the ministry tools that he used to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. He loved being able to show his finger to that little boy. How is it that you and I take the same things? How is it that we take the things that we have lost inside of our lives, they simply become part of the story of our lives, and then we can actually use them not as something that has been lost, but as something that has been gained? You know what? My dad, turns out, had a deep understanding for people who had lost body parts, for people who had lost a leg, fingers, hands, arms, for people who had been in and through surgeries. He knew what that moment was like, even though it was just that one little body part that he had lost. He used what he had lost. It simply became part of his story, and it deepened within him so that he could share in and out and through. I love these words. Those words that you heard earlier that came from 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. We don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You know what? We become new again and again when we allow ourselves to live in the kingdom of God, living in the love of God, letting it move in and through us so that we can share it with others. When we respond in with our actions in God's love, we are made new again and again. And Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I had no clothes, you found clothes for me. When I was sick, you came and visited me. When I was in prison, you were there for me. When we allow ourselves to respond in love, to respond with action, we are entering and living in the kingdom of God. And every time we do that, we are made new again and again. But remember, this is not just about going out and doing good stuff. No, no, no. We do this because we live on a foundation of faith. We believe in God, but it turns out that God believes in us. This is the crucial element that says that we are held in God's hands and we respond while being held in God's hands. May it be this week, my friends, that you allow yourself to be made new again and again. May it be that you allow yourself to respond in love, God's love, with your actions in the world that is around you. Do you think that the world needs that? Oh my. Oh my. For you to have a calm head, for you to have an open heart, for you to have helping hands, is the call of Jesus Christ into our world right now. A world that is filled with conflict, a world that is filled sometimes with panic, a world that is filled with overwhelm. In this moment, it's your hands. May you be made new again and again in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to give you thanks for the ways in which you do enter our lives, for the ways in which you do make the kingdom of God so real and tangible. We give you thanks for the ways that you make us new. Lord, now open the door. Open the door of opportunity that inside of this week that we might have the opportunity, the chance to share your love. So be it. Amen.